It's Marketplace Tech for July 7th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. With banks in Greece closed again today and limited ATM withdrawals for people in the country, domestic commerce isn't easy. But new restrictions are making things hard for Greeks to buy stuff in the online world as well. Think PayPal and Apple's App Store. Marketplace's Adrian Hill takes a look.
These are dark days for Greek consumers. Bank closures, cash shortages, and capital controls. The restrictions are meant to keep Greeks from sending their money overseas, but they also mean Greek credit cards can't be used to make payments outside the country.
It's an unfortunate restriction on the ability of Greek consumers to shop online and outside of Greece.
Jason Oxman is the CEO of the Electronic Transactions Association.
Generally speaking, it takes Greek customers outside of the global commerce world.
A place few people want to be. There are reports of blocked iTunes purchases, cloud storage services being canceled when the credit card on file doesn't work. In a statement, PayPal says its wallets can no longer be funded from Greek accounts. Mary Monahan is with Javelin Strategy and Research.
It's definitely affecting consumers who are trying to do any kind of cross-border transacting.
And in today's global economy, that's a whole lot of people. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
If you are familiar with the so-called front page of the internet, aka Reddit, you may know that the website has been in a bit of a crisis over the last few days. Reddit is an operation that, while fully owned and for-profit, functions thanks to its millions of users and long list of volunteer moderators. One of the company's few paid employees was let go last week. Moderators were very upset, and they protested by making many of the website's popular forums inaccessible to its millions of users. It's a strange standoff at a company with a strange business model. Andrew Lee is associate professor of journalism at American University. He's also the author of The Wikipedia Revolution. Andrew, thanks for talking.
Good to be with you.
How did some of these moderators and volunteers become so powerful in the Reddit community?
Reddit has made its fame by allowing the users to be the main creators of content, where they discuss new shows, discuss pop culture, post new pictures. And because these volunteers become moderators, the fate of the company is in the hands of volunteers. And there's very few organizations or enterprises for which this is true. Wikipedia is certainly one of them. Reddit is a for-profit that has this as its model, and that runs into some sticky situations.
Does that mean that Reddit might not be a sustainable model long-term? You know, you might have another controversy that could actually just result in everybody moving out of Reddit town?
Well, you know, that's what happened to Digg.com. Digg was the poster boy of its time for, you know, user-generated content back in 2006. And through not just one move, but a number of moves, the community pretty much departed. And now they're a very different site. They had to pivot, and now they're a mainstream publishing site. So although we are in new territory here, we have some experience with sites that did not heed the warnings about making their community happy.
Andrew Lee is associate professor of journalism at American University. He's also the author of The Wikipedia Revolution, How a Bunch of Nobodies Created the World's Greatest Encyclopedia. Professor Lee, thank you very much.
Thank you.
In over a decade since the war on terror started, the use of digital surveillance has exploded, not only in the U.S., but around the world. And as it's exploded, the supply and demand relationship between governments and government contractors has moved further into the private sector. How much further? Well, it's hard to say, but we got a glimpse this week when a boutique Italian surveillance technology firm called Hacking Team found itself on the other end of the digital gun barrel. A hacker infiltrated the company's network and published a huge trove of its documents. Christopher Segoyan is principal technologist at the ACLU and has been digging through these documents. Hello, Christopher.
Hi.
What is Hacking Team's business model?
The company sells sophisticated surveillance technology that can be used to take over someone's computer or cell phone. And they sell this to essentially any government around the world that wants it.
Do we know which governments are its clients?
Sure, we do now. After 400 gigabytes of the company's documents were stolen. We now know that it's been purchased by the FBI and the DEA in the United States. We know that it's been purchased by the Sudanese government, the Azerbaijani government, by the Kazakhstan government, by a number of governments with well-documented problems of human rights.
What else have you learned by looking at these documents that Hacker has published 400 gigabytes worth of?
We've learned that the actual sums of money involved are relatively small, at least for governments. The software is going for a few hundred thousand dollars for a license. And so typically these kinds of capabilities were really expensive because, you know, you had to go to a defense contractor like Raytheon or Lockheed and get them to build this for you. And that's what the FBI had done in the past. What's happened now is that surveillance companies are providing lower cost, cheaper surveillance software to government agencies with smaller budgets.
I mean, is it legal for countries to buy this kind of software from a company like this?
So it depends on the country that it's being exported from, and it depends on the country that it's being exported to. You know, among the documents in this dump are a series of letters between a United Nations panel and Hacking Team. And the UN panel was investigating the reported sale to the government of Sudan. And there is a fairly strict embargo, particularly for arms, against the Sudanese government. You know, I expect that now that these documents have been made public, the UN panel and maybe some other governments might take a different view of what Hacking Team's software does and how existing arms control rules might apply to it.
Christopher Segoin is principal technologist at the American Civil Liberties Union. Christopher, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, Segoin says that as tools built by Hacking Team and other firms have gotten cheaper, they could be used more often by local law enforcement. The FBI's bill since 2011, a mere $775,000. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.